Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 90 of Season 7 Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Travis Bow of Minute of Thieves.
Hey,
welcome
hey.
Back, Travis.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So, minute 90 begins with John confirming his suspicion and ends with Dexter being very concerned. So, first of all, I'm very happy to say that we're 90 minutes into this movie. You know, we've hit the hour and a half mark. Only have a little more than a half hour to go of this movie. We're in the final stretch.
Yeah,
as they say. Yeah, and things are just getting fun and fun. All right, so we ended things yesterday with John and Zeus in the car in the middle of a firefight having a conversation. And John seems to mention to Zeus that we finally figured out where this bomb is. And he tells him it's Chester A. Arthur Elementary School. And Zeus is quite shocked about that. So this minute starts with him saying back to John, Chester A. Arthur Elementary School? As if to basically say, are you sure that's what the right one is? And he goes, yeah, that's it. And you can see that on Zeus's face, that Zeus is basically in hell right now from learning this little thing. I mean, we talked 2 weeks ago about the school itself. There is no Chester A. Arthur Elementary School in New York. They use a different school for the background of it. I guess they like the idea of having 21 and 42. Yeah, sure. So they said, hey, why don't we just create a school, for that one? And miraculously or coincidentally, it happens to be where Zeus's nephews are studying. We can see that Zeus is finally emotionally hit by this whole thing.
Yeah. There's it hits home for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about this, I think, yesterday, that this is basically Simon's way to say screw you to Zeus, even though it makes absolutely no sense that in that amount of time he was able to get together all of the bits and pieces to make it work.
Yeah,
but it's still fun. You know, it would be a logistical nightmare for Simon, but I guess it's worth him if he's able to get back at the Samaritan.
Right.
I think that's what it comes down to. And at this point, we're the shot changes and we're in the school auditorium, and we see that there are teachers standing in front of all the kids in the auditorium, and they are singing a song. They are singing the song "Row Row Row Your Boat." Are you familiar with this song?
Of course,
or nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
Okay.
I prefer it in Star Trek V, but
we will get there. We will get there.
Okay.
When do you think this song was first, I guess, created, written?
No idea.
There's actually two. I'm gonna split it into two questions. When do you think the lyrics were written, and when do you think the tune that we're familiar with was?
I kind of figured it was that's one of those situations. I dealt with that in Minute of Thieves with what's the song? It's like Pop Goes the Weasel is used in that movie, or at least the tune of it is. And so I went through like, oh, the song, you know, the tune was created this time, and then lyrics came later, and new lyrics and changes and all that. So it's probably like a.
This is the opposite. I'll tell you the lyrics came first.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I mean, I would probably guess it goes back to the 1700s. I don't know.
1852 was when the lyrics were first published.
Okay.
And the lyrics are very similar to what we still have today. And but they used a different tune, and then they changed the tune again a few years later, And then the modern tune was first recorded with these lyrics in 1881.
Hmm.
And there is a book called the Franklin Square Song Collection, which mentions it.
Okay.
But no one is 100% sure if you know who the composer or adapter was.
Sure.
Of the song itself. The song is mostly sung as what's known as a round for up to four voice parts.
Yeah.
Which means that you have someone start off and they sing the first line, and then when they get to the second line, so the second person starts the first line.
Right.
So it's constantly happening at the same time. So you have a four-part harmony between all of them. It's been used in numerous movies and TV shows. You mentioned Star Trek V. It was also in a Blackadder movie, Blackadder Goes Forth. It was there's a Power Rangers movie called Turbo, which it appears in. You have it in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You have it in The Trumpet of the Swan. And you have it in Dante's Peak. Obviously, we have it in this movie, too. Bing Crosby used it in a melody on his 1961 album, 101 Gang Songs. He actually had members of his family join in as they did the round, you know, which each of them, doing a different part of the harmony for the whole thing. Amy Mann has a version of it that came out in 1996. And the idea is that there are additional verses that were added to it in order to basically extend the song, to not sound as repetitious. Some of the lyrics are funny, some of them are parodying it, and some substitute sensibility for the perceived innocence of the original. You even have in the Muppets. Are you familiar with Don Music from the Muppets? He's one of the characters, I guess, in the Muppets on Sesame Street. So he changed the lyrics to feature a car instead of a boat.
Oh, okay.
Right. So here, I'm just going to go through some of the new or the additional lyrics. So you have row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. If you see a crocodile, don't forget to scream. Okay. That one I've actually heard.
Huh.
Row, row, row your boat underneath the stream. Ha ha, fooled you. I'm a submarine.
Okay.
Row, row, row your boat gently to the shore. If you see a lion, don't forget to roar. Row, row, row your boat gently around the bath. If you see a large giraffe, don't forget to laugh. Eh, I don't like that one so much.
No.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. If you see a polar bear, don't forget to shiver.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like that one. Gently down the river. Sorry, I
said. Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Row, row, row your punt gently down the stream. Belts off, trousers down. Isn't life a scream?
Okay.
Okay. Whatever. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Throw your teacher overboard and listen to her scream. Okay, that one I've actually heard. Two more. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Try to make it back to shore before your boat sinks. Okay, that doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the final one I have here is row, row, row your boat gently down the creek. If your boat fills with water, then you've got a leak. Okay, so I think people should just stick with the original.
Yeah.
That would be my advice here.
I don't even care for the original.
Well, but but I'm saying if you have to choose one of
them. Yes.
You know, it sort of makes sense that that's what they're singing here. You know, on the one hand, it makes sense. On the other hand, it doesn't mean, think about it. This is an elementary school. So they have kids there from, let's say, first grade to sixth. Well, maybe they have kindergarten, but maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Right. But okay, let's say it's first to sixth. Why would sixth graders want to sit and listen to them sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat? You know, it sounds a little strange. You know, for the younger kids, I can sort of understand.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I don't know. Then the principal shows up and whispers into the ear of the lead teacher who's singing, and she has a very frightened look on her face. And then The principal says, "Hi, kids. I know you usually have assembly on Fridays, but today is special." Now, do you understand that to mean that today is a special Friday, or because it's an, you know, today is a different day? So it's, you know, we're having this assembly on a Tuesday or whatever it is.
I don't know. I guess I never really thought about it. Well, of course not.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. I think I take it to mean that. Now you got me. I guess I always thought that it is a Friday, and they normally do something else. But we've got everyone gathered here. But now that I think about that, it makes more sense that she's saying you normally assemble like this on a Friday. But yeah, today it's Tuesday, and we're doing it for a special reason or something. So right. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. I mean, we discussed it. You know, we've tried to figure out when this movie takes place.
Okay.
Throughout the course of this whole season.
Yeah.
I was always under the impression that this happens in like June, but based on all the clues that we found, this is basically happening in late September, early October.
Really?
Because they talk about it being an Indian summer.
Yeah.
We saw an ad in the subway for a poster that. So for a magazine that only came out at the end of September 1994.
Okay.
There was a poster in the subway for the Goodwill Games of 1994, which happened in August. So, you know, it sort of made sense that it was possibly then.
Okay.
And we came to a realization or suspicion at some point that this possibly is taking place on a Tuesday. There was something that keyed us to that. I'm currently trying to rack my brain, trying to remember why we thought that, but I currently don't remember. So it's stuck in my head that it's, you know, that this is a Tuesday. I don't know why.
Okay.
And then Principal Martinez continues speaking, and she says, "Mr. Lampert here is from the fire department, and today he wants us to practice a brand new fire drill. So I want you to divide in half, and I want half of you to go over here. Teachers will help them and line up against the wall." And then she says, "Open the door. The other half will go in this direction. Please do it very quietly and quickly. All right, everybody up. Please, teachers, please help them." So my first question that I have about this whole thing is, when she mentions that Lampert's a fireman, if you look at him, he still has his police badge on his suit. You know, so is that just that they just assume kids are stupid and won't know the difference?
Well, maybe a little bit of that. And like, I've seen official firemen at a certain rank. They do wear badges that kind of look like, you know, police badges. So I don't know. Not certain why we want to make the kids think that this guy is a fireman and not a, you know, police officer. I guess it would sell the idea of a new fire drill.
That's more, the only thing that it could be from what I understand.
I think it's believable, I guess, that he would be a fireman, or, you know, not a fireman in gear, like the guy that's like a little bit behind him in the doorway, you know, but
yeah, who's in full gear.
Yeah, I did notice that when he first, like, it has a shot of Lampert and Connie, I think, they're in the doorway, and the principal is approaching the teacher, and he doesn't have his badge. And then it hard cuts to Lampert and the principal walking, and he suddenly has the badge. So
I didn't notice that. Oh, you're right. Wow. Yes.
This is an odd moment of continuity. Wow, there.
That is great. Yeah. Second 11, he does not have a badge. And in second 12, he miraculously puts the badge there so that they will know that he's a fireman.
And there's not even a transition there. It's just a hard cut in the, you know, 1 second to the next. But
right. Because you see Lampert talking with her.
Yeah.
And then the next second she's walking. Wow. That is a great catch, Travis. I didn't notice that.
I love the when the principal goes up to the teacher, that teacher's face, man, she sells the hell out of whatever the principal is telling her, because she just looks like, you know, I guess what the principal must have been saying is, we found a bomb in the school, or, you know,
that's right.
The bomb that they're looking for is here, because it's that's instant right. That her face goes like, you know, graven.
So. And it's, you know, it's very close to the 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a credit for this other teacher, so I don't know who she is.
Oh.
There's in the credits, there's only one teacher listed, and it's a man. Mm. Or it says Michael. Again, these days, it's possible that is a female. I don't know. It says Michael Lugio. Mm. But it doesn't seem as if this is he's an actor, so I don't think that's I don't know what other male teacher would show. Yeah, so that's a little strange also. But don't know. Yeah, that's a little bit weird. And then you know, as this whole thing is going on, we get a quick shot of Raymond and Dexter standing in the crowd, and Raymond then says to Dexter, "File Drew my ass. That guy ain't from the fire department." And then Dexter goes, "Maybe it's because of the radio."
Yeah.
You know, Big Tony that we're going to find in a dumpster. do you know who the actor is who plays Raymond?
Oh, yeah. Is it Aldous or Aldous Hodge?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I remember when he got cast as Hawkman and finding out what his, you know, that he was one of these kids. And I think he's been acting for, you know, ever since then, I'm guessing. But I was unaware of him as an actor until the Hawkman casting. So.
Right.
I don't know what I think he was doing. One of those shows like Leverage. Is that what it is?
Yes, okay. And I mean, basically, what's great about this is the way that he's also in Die Hard 5.
Is he?
You know, he's not the same character, obviously. But,
sure,
He is in it. Huh. Yeah. So it was interesting seeing that he appears. Was it 18 years later in right. a sequel to the movie? And as a completely different part.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So basically, Dexter and Raymond are both curious and concerned.
Mm.
You know, how old do you think at the when they made this movie?
Sorry, which one?
Raymond. Eldest Hodge.
Okay. He looks like he's. I'd say 12 or 13.
Okay, so in real life, he was only 9 when they made this movie.
Really?
Okay, he does not look like a third grader. You know, my daughter just finished third grade.
Okay.
He is so much taller than she is.
Wow.
You know, that just blew my mind thinking that.
Because he looks like he even has like that, like... puberty, you know, pubescent, like little tiny hint of a mustache, you know what I mean, like that peach fuzz, like it looks like he's got that, so that's why I would think 12 or 13.
Well, maybe in his family at the age of 9 you get peach fuzz.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's possible. Definitely possible. All right. I don't have anything else for this minute.
Yeah. And no, I'm you? Good. No.
All right, so let's get into the script a little bit. So it says, Taft Grade School, upstairs auditorium. The kids are grouped in the auditorium. A teacher is leading them in a song. They are singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. In the back row, Zeus Carver's sons, Dexter and Raymond, are seated with 3 friends watching. Outside the auditorium, cops, firemen, and bomb squad personnel come and go. Dexter whispers to Raymond, "What's going on?" "Some kind of serious shit." "Well, I ain't staying here." Dexter, Raymond, and 3 other kids sneak off through the aisle and head towards the back of the auditorium. Yeah, that's pretty much they leave out the whole idea of of Lambert, pretending to be a fireman and using his magic to to have his badge appear and disappear. Yeah. All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Name That Movie. Okay, so the premise behind this segment is the fact that as you know, this movie was originally called Simon Says.
Okay.
So basically there are many movies that before they are released have a different title.
Gotcha.
Maybe it was maybe it's a fake title, maybe it's the original title.
So like a Blue Harvest Star Wars kind of thing.
That was something that we've already used. Yes.
Okay.
So what I did was I made a list of 155 movies and their original or at some point what the title of the movie was. So the basic premise here is pretty simple. I will tell you the name of the original title and the year of the movie, and you have to try and guess what movie it is.
Okay.
What the release title was for that movie. Now, you do have lifelines. You can ask for the director. You can ask for an actor or another actor or whatever.
Okay.
Hopefully I chose movies for you that that you've seen and that you're familiar with and are able to easily guess what they are.
All right. Yeah.
All for the fun of it, obviously. Okay, so let's start with we'll start you off with an easy one. So 1995, a movie that was originally titled Made in Taiwan.
Made in Taiwan, 1995. No, I got nothing.
Okay.
I can't even think of anything like from 1995, that has anything like Taiwan, like that the plot element or no. So what's who's the director?
Well, the director will give it away too easily. So I'm gonna give you one of the supporting characters.
Okay.
Okay. Don Rickles.
Don Rickles. Oh, Toy Story?
Yes.
Okay. Made in Taiwan, really?
Yes, that was one of the Toy Story has numerous titles.
Okay.
To it. This is just one of them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. 2010, The Accidental Billionaires.
Man, these are good. I mean, that's nothing like obvious, Accidental Billionaires. That doesn't help me. That's not a clue to anything that I can think of.
All right, so I'll give you one of the actors.
Yeah,
all right. Andrew Garfield.
Oh, okay. What's it called? Social Network.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. The next one from 2013, Snow Queen.
Snow Queen. Oh. I wanted to say something like it was somehow drug related, like, not blow, but like a cocaine story, or something like that. But I can't think of anything that. What was it? Snow Queen? Oh, yeah. What's that one called? Frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Here's the next one from 1999. Rocket Boys.
Rocket Boys. Oh, yeah. It's Jim's movie. October Sky.
Yes. Yeah. I purposely didn't give it to Jim because
sure.
He would have gotten that one too easily.
Yeah.
And the thing I always love about this is that the two names, both Rocket Boys and October Sky, are anagrams of one another.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's the exact same letters.
Yeah.
The exact same letters. Okay. And your final one from 2008, Slusho.
They used that for. I know it's a J.J. Abrams thing, but Star Trek was 2009. What was that called? Cloverfield.
Cloverfield, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, that's right. Excellent. You see, you did pretty well.
Yeah.
No, I'm very good. All right, so Travis, would you like to... once again, tell people where they can find Travis Bowe.
No, but I do want to.
You don't.
I don't. I would like to, if I can, promote someone else's artwork.
Sure.
So
you can do both.
Right on. So
you're not paying for advertisements here. So feel free to put two in it.
I wanted to
do for the price of one today.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to plug someone else's work. Liz Whitaker of formerly of, you know, Mean Girls Minute, and then guest on so many podcasts. She has launched her own clothing line called Oz and Bron. It's OzAndBron.com. And she makes she creates artwork, and then you can buy her artwork on, you know, shirts and, you know, clothing and shoes and shorts, and like, it's really cool art that she does. And yeah, I just wanted to promote someone else. So check out ozandbron.com.
Oh, wow. Very cool. All right. And I actually wanted to promote something else also, because Travis and I are part of this, this group / forum called Movies by Minute. So there is a Facebook group for Movies by Minute podcasters, and there is also a website called Movies by Minute, moviesbyminutes.com. There are currently 248 Movies by Minute podcasts that are listed on there. I can speak for Travis here. We strongly recommend that you go there and try and find some of your favorite movies that you can listen to them minute by minute. And as Jim O'Kane always says, if you go there and you don't find your favorite movie, so why don't you start your own podcast and join us in this crazy endeavor of dissecting movies in minute detail by doing them minute by minute. The many people who are a part of this community of podcasters, where most of us are very friendly. We're willing to help out others. Help out with getting people started, giving advice, explaining how to do things, how to keep things fun. We also have a very deep pool of people who can serve as guests in order to help you get your show moving and stuff like that. So you can go to moviesbyminute.com and join us. We're always looking for new people with fresh ideas to try and show us what they've got for movies in a different way, to keep things diverse.
Absolutely.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. You can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. And you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, Travis, thank you very much for joining me this week.
Thank you, as always.
I hope you did, too.
Yes, sir.
And I obviously want to give Travis another special shout out and thank you for helping me with the artwork over the past five seasons. Mm. And I hope that for season 8 you will continue and you'll have time to help me with that artwork also. It would be most beneficial.
So see what we can work out.
All right, I appreciate that. Sounds good. All right, so I will be back on Monday with a new guest, but until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again, hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.